Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkos Chaf Beis. We are starting with the Mishnah Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is going to continue discussing that which would make a sukkah kosher and that would not make a sukkah kosher. As I pointed out yesterday we began the new perek. The first 20 blot of the Masechta deal with the structure of the sukkah, and that was the first perek. Meanwhile, yesterday we started the new perek, the second perek of the Masechta. So I mentioned that the second perek is going to be focusing on putting the person in the sukkah and the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. Now, the truth of the matter is that's correct, but not yet. We still have a couple more mishnayos, which as will become evident in today's daf, that is going to be dealing with the structure of the sukkah and that which qualifies and disqualifies the sukkah. Only really when we get to Chaf Hei are we going to be discussing the person's obligation of the mitzvah of sukkah. So that'll come up now at pretty much the second half of the second parak of the Masechta. But in the meantime, however, we're going to be dealing with that which qualifies and disqualifies the sukkah. So follow me now as we start the first Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Aleph Sukkah. Hamidu v'leles is an interesting word here in the Mishnah. Mishnah describes a sukkah which we're going to leave it untranslated. And v'shitzil samaruba mechamsa, or the Mishnah describes a sukkah where you have more shade than sun, suk shera. Both of these sukkahs would be qualified. They would be good sukkahs. Hamiuva kimin bayis. If let's say you were to make the schach really thick, where basically the schach is so thick it looks like the roof of your house, afal pi she'ena kochavim nirim, even though the stars cannot be seen, metocha from your house kshera. So under those circumstances, it would in fact be kosher. Your sukkah would be good. Would be a good sukkah, right? Every child knows. Every child that goes to gets any kind of Jewish education knows that you got to see stars from the sukkah. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that's not true. You don't have to see the stars from the sukkah. Now, stay tuned, because at the end of today's daf, I'm going to go back and I'm going to defend the children and the children's teachers who are teaching them well, that you do have to see stars from the sukkah. Our Mishnah says you don't have to. So that we're going to be discussing at the tail end of today's daf. But in the meantime, however, we have to deal with the first part of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah introduces us to a type of sukkah, a midu v'lalas, where the Mishnah says that the sukkah is kosher. And what we really need to do is we need to uncover, define exactly what the word midduv lelis means as we start with the Gemara. My midduv lelis. So what is the definition of the word midduv lelis? So Amar Rav Sukkah Aniyah. So Rav says it's a poor sukkah, meaning that the amount of schach that you put on was very sparse. Shmuel Amar kana ola v'kana yorid. And Shmuel says, no, it's not talking about the schach being sparse, but rather what it's talking about is that one board is above and one board's below. I say boards over here, I really mean schach. So, but it's just easier to talk about in terms of boards. Now, earlier in the Masechta, we talked about if the board is too wide, so then the board is not going to be good because of Gzera Derabanan, what we call Gzera Stikra. But right now, let's assume together that the boards over here are perfectly good, good schach, what the Gemara described as Kanim Ba'ama. Remember, anything below three tvachim, the Gemara says is perfectly eligible as schach. So what we're describing now is Kasher Schach. According to Shmuel, Midu V'lalis is giving a description where one board is above and one board is below. Now, if this is not a visual medium, in other words, for those of you on Zoom, you could see. So basically what we're doing now is that we're taking the schach and we're separating them vertically. So that one schach now is going to be vertically above the other schach. And the schach now continues on that trend where one is above and one's below. So that's the way Shmuel understands our Mishnah. That's the midu v'lalas, where the Mishnah says that it's kasher. Now, we're going to come back and we're going to discuss Shmuel's position in detail in just a moment. But the Gemara now wants to plug both of these explanations back into our Mishnah. So Rav Tani Chadu Shmuel Tani Tarti. Now, as far as how Rav and Shmuel go back and explain our Mishnah, so Rav will do the following. Rav will say that our Mishnah is really discussing one case, meaning this is Rav's understanding of our Mishnah. Rav Tani Chadu Sukkah Midu V'lalas. My Midu V'lalas? Midul Delesh. So Samurba Mecham Sakshera. So what Rav is saying is that when the Mishnah introduces us to a sukkah, ha-midu v'lalas, then what the Mishnah does is it defines itself. Meaning, what is midu v'lalas? It's synonymous with midul dal from the word dal, which means that it's impoverished, meaning that you didn't throw up a lot of schach on there. So you didn't throw up a lot of schach on there, so when is it going to be kosher? So it'll be kosher when you have more shade than sun. Okay, that is Rav's understanding of our Mishnah. So Rav is just simply saying that our Mishnah is giving one case. And what the Mishnah is doing is it's explaining the word midu v'lalas. Okay, which is midul delas, which means that it's dal, it's impoverished. You didn't put a lot of schach on. Ushmul tenitarti. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, so his understanding is that really there are two cases, two separate cases in the Mishnah. My meduvlalas, mivul velas. So meduvlalas is synonymous now with milbubal, which means that it's mixed up, literally confused. And vitarti katani, really the Mishnah is giving us two cases. Katani suka mivul velas, kshera. So the first case that the Mishnah is giving us is mivulval, and which is basically where the schach is not in alignment with one another. One is up and the other one's down. And then the Mishnah gives us another case, vitzil samruba mechamsa, in the case where there's more shade than sun, meaning it's regular schach, just telling us how much schach you need to throw on. You need to throw on more schach than non-schach, or more schach than airspace, so that there's more shade than sun. Okay, so those are the explanations of the Mishnah. So we have so far two explanations of the Mishnah, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that the Mishnah is just talking about where you throw on a sparse amount of schach, so it would be kosher, but provided that there's more shade than sun. Shmuel says, yes, the Mishnah is teaching us that halacha, but Shmuel says that the Mishnah is teaching us another halacha, which is the halacha of where I have the schach being off alignment. If the schach is being off alignment, what halacha allows us to do is basically look at it as if it is aligned, even though it's off alignment. Now, on this point of Shmuel, the Gemara now is going to spend a lot of time discussing. Amar Abaye. So we are about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, and the Gemara now is going to have a discussion within Shmuel. Now, from the fact that the Gemara has a discussion within Shmuel, it certainly sounds like that the Gemara is really adopting his position, accepting his position. Now, this is obviously a point of discussion and debate, because generally speaking, when we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, when it comes to non-monetary matters, when it comes to Issur V'Heter, so we paskin like Rav. So over here, if Rav is not offering this pshat, but this pshat is only offered by Shmuel, so it could very well be that the subsequent discussion that's all within Shmuel is not an accepted discussion. But that's really hard to maintain, because really the Gemara is going to be spending nearly the remainder of today's daf discussing this position of Shmuel. It certainly sounds like from the Gemara that the Gemara is to a certain degree adopting the position of Shmuel. What you could say is that Rav and Shmuel are not arguing with one another. They're just simply arguing about how to explain the Mishnah. Meaning Rav is telling you what he thinks Pshat in the Mishnah is. Shmuel is telling you what he thinks Pshat in the Mishnah is. But it could very well be that Rav agrees with Shmuel about this idea that when the schach is not aligned, it's not on the same horizontal plane, it could be that Rav may agree with Shmuel that we're going to basically see them as in alignment. Okay, regardless, the Gemara now is going to be having a lengthy discussion within this position of Shmuel. It's a we're going to start with Abaye. Amar Abaye lo shanu ela she'in bein zeh lezeh shosha tvachim. Aval yesh bein zeh lezeh gemol tvachim psula. Okay. So Abaye starts off with the following. So again, we're talking about schach where it is not aligned. It is not operating on the same horizontal plane. One schach is below and the other one is above. Now, the way Abaye sets it up is that if the distance, if the vertical distance between the edge of one schach and the edge of the other schach are within three tefachim of one another, so then we have the principle of love. Love tells us that the gap is going to be closed. So now, again, as a visual medium, this is really easy to show, right? As an audio, it's a little bit more challenging. But basically, as long as you have the vertical distance between the two being less than three tefachim, so Lava tells us now that the gap closes. And now what we have basically is a perfect line of schach running across. That is Abaye's position. But Abaye, of course, is also saying that if the distance between them is greater than three tefachim, so three tefachim or greater, so then we don't have the ability to say Lava anymore. And so therefore, basically, we can no longer unify the schach one with the other. And so therefore, we don't have kasher schach. This is Abaye's understanding of the position of Shmuel. Aval, I'm just rereading that last line of Abaye. Aval yesh bein zeh lezeh gemol tefachim psula, so then it would be no good. So Amar Rava, Rava comes along, and Rava introduces now the following idea. Afilo yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim nami lo amaran, ela she'im begago tefach. Aval yesh begago tefach shera, darmin and chavut rami. So Rava says the following. Let's say the distance, the vertical distance between one schach and the other is greater than three tefachim. If each schach piece is one tefach wide, if each schach piece is one tefach horizontally, so then we're able to employ the term chavut rami. Now, chavut rami basically says that what we're going to be able to do is take the pieces and align them one with the other. We're going to be able to take the upper beams and throw them down. Chavut rami literally means to throw them down and basically create alignment with the other beam. Rashi explains this is basically a cousin, maybe even a closer relative, to the idea of good achis, walls descending. So you remember, we've been dealing a lot with halacha Moshe Mesinai. In other words, the halachic fiction that that the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim allows us to do when it comes to walls. And so one of the ideas that we talked about is where walls are ascending, walls are descending. So if I have a wall of 10 tefachim, so it ascends, that's what's called good asik, and it descends, that's what's called good achis. Yes, we had a debate in terms of the limits of good achis, and there is a lot of discussion that we already had in our Masechta regarding the limits of good achis. But anyway, but halacha l'moshe mitzrayim, we get to look at the wall as it descends. What the Gemara now is saying, according to Rava, is that as long as each beam, in terms of its horizontal width, is a tefach or greater, so then what halacha allows us to do is to take the edge of each one of them and have it drop down even more than three tefachim, meaning Chavat Rami basically allows us to bring the boards down even at distances of more than three tefachim. Presumably, there are no limits according to Rava, meaning this idea of Chavat Rami allows us to bring it down even if it is exceedingly higher than the other beam. And so now, if I have these staggered beams, one after another, and they're greater than three tefachim vertical from one another, but each beam is now one tefach or wider, Chavat Rami now tells me that they get to be looked at as if they're aligned, and obviously that results in Kasher Schach. That obviously is a tremendous chiddush of Rava. So afilu yesh ben zel zeh shel tefachim nami lo amar nel. I'm just rereading it again. Sorry. Ela she'im begago tefach chava yesh begago tefach shera damin chavat rami. We say chavat rami. Am Rava mena amina la de chi is be tefach amin chavat rami vechileis be tefach lo amin chavat rami. So Rava says, I'm sure you're curious. Where do I get this halach of chavat rami from? So Rava says, did not, because we have a mishnah. Now this mishnah over here, if it happens to be that you have anything that will help you look at pictures, right, a perish chai, or an art scroll, or a masifta, whatever the case is, if you have something, or the Koran, so if you have something that allows you to look at pictures, so that's great. In other words, because it would be really helpful over here if you get to see the pictures and get to see what we are describing. Okay, we're basically going to be describing a two-floor house, where right now there are just staggered boards in this house. In other words, obviously over here, the house is not really functional. Right, you have a board followed then by an airspace followed by another board. Really, the house is not yet finished. The point the Mishnah over here is going to do is it's just really going to demonstrate how the rules of Tumas Ol works. Okay, so we're going to be given a number of different scenarios within the Mishnayos over here in Ol. Obviously, the whole point of bringing in this Mishnah is just to demonstrate, to show this concept of Chavat Rami. So let's go through the Mishnah. Koros Abayis veha aliyah she'in aleim ma'aziva vehin mechuvanos. Okay, so in case number one over here in this Mishnah, so you have now two floors to the house. In other words, you have the ground, you have the Koros ha'tachtonos, the lower beams, which is separating the first and second floor, and then you have the Koros ha'elyonos, the upper beams, which is obviously the ceiling for the second floor. So now, they're mechuvanos, which means that they are in perfect alignment. The lower beams are directly below the upper beams. Each of the beams is one tefach wide. So now, basically, how does Tumas Ol works? How does it operate? So the Mishnah over here is going to describe. So Tuma tachas achas mehem. So let's say the Tuma is underneath one of them. It doesn't matter which one of the boards, but right now we're describing the lower boards. So Tuma tachas achas mehem tachta tamei minat tachta, I'm sorry, tachta tamei. Anything under that lower board is tamei. So as we've been describing many times in our Masechta here in Sukkah, so the way the Tumas Mace works is that it goes up. Now, if it happens to hit an Ohel, now any of these boards is an Ohel, because all these boards are at least one tefach wide. So if it hits a board, any one of the boards, any one of the lower boards, so now what's going to happen is that the Tumah now will spread out underneath that lower board and drop down to any area shared on that lower board. But because the lower board is a tefach, what it also does is it's chotzeitz. It stops the Tumah from going up. So that means that if you have Tumas Mace under any one of the boards, the area under that particular board is going to be Tameh, but that means that the rest of the house is going to be Tahor, even if you're directly over the Korah HaTachtona, because that board now not only spread the Tumah, but it also stopped the Tumah from going up. Good. Another illustration of this point, Bein HaTachtona LeElyona, Beinim Tameh. So let's say now you have the Tumas Mace between the lower and the upper board. So now it's the same story. That Tuma now is going to be limited only in between those two boards. Consider that the Tumas Mace now is situated on a board that's one tefach wide. So that means that the Tuma is not going to go down. Also, the Tuma is going up, but hitting the board above it. Again, with the first case in the Mishnah is where the boards are in perfect alignment one with the other. So it's going to hit the board above it. and now it's going to spread out below the board. So now the tumas mace is between the two boards. And of course, also the upper board is going to be stopping the tumah from going up. Because again, that's what happens when the tumas mace hits an ohel. It spreads, but it also stops. It doesn't go up any higher. Now, al gabe ha'ayona. Now, let's say the tumas mace was on top of the upper board. So, kenegda ad l'rakia tameh. So now, nothing is stopping the tumah from going up. The tumah simply goes up ad infinitum. And in terms of going down, the tumah doesn't go down. Okay. This is all an example where, these are all examples where the boards are aligned one with the other. Again, just very basics in terms of tumas ohal. The reason why we're calling the Mishnah is for the upcoming case. Hayu ha'ayonos kebein ha'tachtonos. Ah. Now, let's say that the boards are not in alignment, but rather they're offset. So that means to say that the board of the upper boards are filling in the gaps of the lower boards. Again, I say fill in, meaning they're over the gaps of the lower boards. So basically now, if we were just talking about the horizontal, I have board, upper board, lower board, it doesn't matter which way, but upper board, lower board, and if we were to, if we were to ignore the verticals, so basically we're looking at one roof. Are we able to ignore the verticals? Otherwise stated, are we able to say that the halacha views the vertical gap as if it doesn't exist, as if the boards now are closed up? So what we're going to learn together in just a moment is that the answer is yes. Meaning the Mishnah over here now is highlighting that when they are offset and the boards fill in the gaps, the air spaces of the other series of boards, so under those circumstances, the halacha basically says that we ignore the vertical distance between them. We say chavut rami, and therefore we're looking at one roof. That's what we're going to learn together in the Mishnah. So, hayu al yonos kebein ha'tachtonos tuma tachtehen. If tumas mace is under any of the boards. Now, when I say any of the boards, I literally mean any one of the boards. Since the halacha now views these boards as if they are in alignment one with another. In other words, we're ignoring the vertical. And now the boards are basically a seamless flat roof going all the way across. So tachas kulam tame. So now what we have is a roof going from end to end. And so therefore, every area underneath the entire structure is going to be tame, as now you have one cohesive roof. Al gabeim kenegdem al rakia. Now, if tuma is on top of any one of the boards, now here again, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the lower boards or the upper boards. Because halacha views them now as one flat area, so therefore, if tuma is on top of the boards, so the tuma simply goes up. So tame. Okay, so that is the Mishnah and Oalos. Now, Rashi over here, you can see Rashi is very long. Rashi over here is struggling with what the girsa is. The way I presented the Mishnah is the way that Rashi ends up approving in terms of what the correct girsa is. In other words, the way we have it in our Gemara. Vitni Allah. So far we have a Mishnah and Oalos. Now what we're going to do is we're going to supplement the Mishnah with a Braisa. The Braisa teaches us, Bamedram, Amorim, Bizman, Yesh, Bahem, Tafach, Uvenem, Posech, Tafach. Everything we just described. How basically when the beams are not in alignment with each other, when they're offset, when the beams are filling in the gaps when the upper beams are filling in the gaps, the air gaps of the lower beams. So that is specifically talking about where everything is a tefach. Ava ein beinayim poseach tefach. If let's say, however, the gap between the lower beams is less than a tefach, and therefore the beams above it are going to be less than a tefach. We're going to be assuming that the upper beams are going to be the same width as the gap, as the airspace. So then, tumatachas achas mehem, tachtea tamay, beinayim ba'agabeim tahor. So then we're not going to say chavut rami. We do not have one unified roof. And therefore, if the tumah is underneath any one of the beams, so that area underneath is going to be tamay, but no other area. Because since we don't say chavut rami, so under those circumstances, we don't have one unified roof. And so therefore, it's the rest of the house is going to remain tahor. Alma, what do you see from this entire discussion? Meaning you take the Mishnah Olos, you take the supplemental braisa that we just learned together. So Alma, ki is beitef, chamin and chavut rami. So the Gemara says, good. So now what we've learned together by hopefully appreciating this Mishnah and Olos with the Braisa is that when I have each of the beams being one tefach wide, even though the distance, the vertical distance between them is great. We're talking about one. We're talking about the distance of a whole floor, right? It's got to be at least four amos, right? Just doesn't really matter. In other words, but as long as the width of each of the boards is a tefach, so then Chavad Rami allows us now to say that take the upper boards, bring them down, and basically fill in the gap of the lower board, and we're going to have one unified roof. So now, this is Rava proving that when Shmuel gives a pshat in our Mishnah, and he says that the sukkah, hamid duvlelis, is referring to a sukkah hamid bulbal, it's mixed up. It means that when the schach are not aligned vertically, but as long as each piece of schach is one tefach wide, so then we're going to say chavad rami, which allows us to basically align the two, ignore the vertical distance between them, and view them as one solid piece. All this is deduced from that Mishnah in Olos. It is certainly a curiosity. I'll just say this under my breath. I'll say this as a parenthetical note. It's certainly a curiosity that on Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara wanted to give a proof in terms of Lavid Be'emsa of the Schach, and the Gemara quoted the Mishnah in Olos in terms of proving that there is such a concept of Lavid Be'emsa. And the Gemara over there dismissed it because the Gemara ended up saying over there that's Tuma, and don't take any of the rules of Tuma and try to apply to Sukkah. And meanwhile, over here, our Gemara comfortably deduced the rule of Chavad Rami based on the Mishnah Olo. So on Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara says that you can't deduce rules from Tuma Tahara. Over here in our Daf, the Gemara assumed that you can. So close parentheses. It certainly that certainly needs more investigation. Anyway, we're going to continue in the Gemara. Tefach is just a minimum. Tefach is just a minimum. It just simply means that as long as the board is a tefach wide, it has the shem ohel, which allows us now to say chavad rami. Yosef Rav Kahana v'kamer la shmaita. Rav Kahana was sitting and he was saying over the sugya. Amalei Rav Asher la Rav Kahana v'chol hecha deleis bei tefach lo armin chavad rami. Now, you're telling me that if the boards are less than a tefach, we're not going to be saying chavad rami v'hatanya. The Gemara says, I'm not sure you're right about that, because as we're going to go back now to Erevin, right? This is a common theme. In other words, we're learning the halachos of mechitza. So where do mechitzas come up? So by Tumas Ohel, obviously you need an Ohel for Tumas Ohel. So obviously a lot of the laws of mechitzas come up. And also by Erevin, a lot of the rules of mechitza come up. And once again, we turn back to our Korah. Let's quickly review. We all know this. When it comes to a mavui, which is surrounded on three sides by physical wall, so it's a rishus ha'yachid, you're allowed to carry in a mavui. However, it does open up on the fourth side to a rishus ha'rabim. So the chachamim demanded that there be a tikkun mavui. So you have to correct the mavui. How do you correct the mavui? Either with a lechi or a korah. Right now, we're going to be focusing on the korah, the horizontal beam that goes across. Now we learned together in Erevin that horizontal beam that goes across has to be a tefach wide. Good. With that stated, so now we're going to learn a braisa. The braisa over here is going to expound on the korah. V'atanya, we learned in the braisa korah hayosim mikosu zu ve'ino no gad bekosu zu. This hopefully sounds familiar. We just did this mission in Erevin a couple days ago, also back on Daf Yud Ches. So if, let's say, the korah does not make it all the way to the other wall, v'chein, shtei korahs achas yosem mikosu zu v'achad yosem mikosu zu ve'inam nogos zu bezu. Or let's say the korahs meet in the middle but don't actually touch. So under these circumstances, pachus mishlosha eino tzarech lahavi korah acheres, shlosha tzarech lahavi korah acheres. As long as the distance is less than three tefachim, so again, we know we say the rules of lavud, and anything less than three tefachim, we get to close in the gap, and so therefore, you're good. You've corrected the mavui. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, is now we turn to the top of Chavez and Beis. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, pachus me arba'a in tzarech lahavi korah acheres, arba'a tzarech lahavi korah acheres. Shimon Gamliel throughout Shas argues in terms of what the number of Lavud is. He says Lavud is not less than three, but Lavud is just a little bit less than four. Okay. V'chein. So far, everything we learned is great, but not relevant to our discussion. It's coming up in just a moment. V'chein shtei korahs hamati'imos lo bezukadei lekabel ariach v'lo bezukadei lekabel ariach. Let's say I have twin korahs going across. Now, as we already pointed out, the korah has to be one tefach wide. So that means to say that I have, if there are twin boards going across, each board by itself is not a tefach wide. Let's just say it's a half tefach. The Bryce over here talks in terms of a brick. Rashi over here goes through the Gemara in Erevin, where the brick, it's half of a brick. A brick is three tefachim wide. Half of a brick is tefach and a half. But the board itself doesn't have to be a tefach and a half. It only needs to be a tefach. Okay, see the Gemara in Erevin. It's for our purposes right now, it's just easy to say that the board has to be a tefach wide. So, im mekablos arich l'rechvo, tefach, ain't sarach l'avi kor recheres, v'im la sarach l'avi kor recheres. So, as long as each of the twin beams is a half tefach, obviously take the two of them totaling to a full tefach, you're fine. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, im mekablos arich l'arko, shlosha tefachim, ain't sarach l'avi kor recheres, v'im la sarach l'avi kor recheres. Shimon Gamliel over here has a particular leniency, which is that for these twin beams going across, they don't have to be a tefach wide, but as long as they're strong enough to be able to support a brick, so then that would be fine. Again, all this is really good, not relevant to our discussion. Here we are. This next part is going to be relevant to our discussion. Hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. So our twin beams that are going across in order to create our korah. Remember, our korah has to be a tefach wide. So if the twin beams are next to one another and they total a tefach, so obviously that's perfect. Over here now, it happens to be that one beam is above and one beam is below, meaning they're vertically offset, right? Well, actually, they're horizontally offset and they're vertically at a distance of one another. So if, again, as a visual medium, this is really easy to describe, right? From an audio standpoint, it's just a little bit more challenging. So here are my twin beams that go across. One's above and one's below. So that means to say that if I just simply ignore the vertical distance, so they're aligned, but obviously they're vertically distant from one another. So under those circumstances, what's the halacha? Hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rowan, halyona ki'ilu hi lamata, v'satachtona ki'ilu hi lamala, uvavachalote halyona lamala me'asrim ama, v'atachtona lamata me'asara. Hazev zebesoch esrim amrina chavad rami, afagav d'leis bei tefach. So it sounds like the simple pshat of this b'rais is the following, that what halacha allows me to do is ignore the vertical. Once again, what halacha allows me to do is to just simply bring this wall down, not physically, but as a legal fiction, I can bring this, not wall, but rather this beam down and have it align with the other one. In other words, what we're going to say is chavad rami. That's good, but remember that each beam is only one half tefach, which means that we are saying chavad rami even though each beam is less than a tefach. In fact, half the width of a tefach. It's only half of a tefach. And we're still saying chavad rami. So the question over here is that how can I... Rava on the Amud Aleph of today's daf says that we're prepared to say chavad rami, but that's only when each beam is one tefach wide. The Braisa regarding the Korah of a Mavui tells me that even at a half tefach, we're able to say chavad rami. Okay, that's the question. The answer is really straightforward. The answer is that we're not interpreting the Braisa correctly. So, Amar Lei, Tritz Ve'ema Hachi. So he says to him, this is what you're going to say. Meaning, this is the correct shot in that Braisa. So, Uvavach Lei Te'elyon Olamala Me'esrim, Ela Betoch Esrim. Va'atachtona Smuchala Be'pachos Mishlosha. We're going to take the Braisa and we're going to break it up into two segments. And that is as follows. The twin beams that are running across, creating my Korah, each one being only a half tefach. So as long as the upper one is less than 20 amos, because remember, rule number one by the Korah, I say rule number one, it's really Mishnah number one in Erevin, is that the Korah cannot be higher than 20 amos, much like the Sukkah can't be higher than 20 amos. The Korah can't be higher than 20 amos. So if my higher Chatzi Tefach beam is still within 20 amos of the ground, perfect. And the beam below that can only be within 3 Tefachim of the higher beam. That's how you interpret the Braisa. Inami, alternatively, or let's say the Korah is no lower than 10 tefachim. Just like by the Sukkah, you have the minimum height is 10 tefachim, so too by the Korah, the minimum height is 10 tefachim. As long as that lower Korah is within 10 tefachim of the ground, above 10 tefachim of the ground, and then its twin Korah is above it, but above it only by less than 3 tefachim. Okay, so what we have over here is a reinterpretation of the Braisa. So the Braisa does allow for the twin beams to be looked at as if they are aligned, but only when they're within 3 tefachim of one another. Otherwise stated, we could say lovud. But if we cannot say lovud, so then they're not aligned. Now, that is not going against the opinion of Rava, because remember, Rava says that we'll say Chavad Rami when each beam is one tefach. So that allows us to say Chavad Rami, ignoring vertical distances of greater than 3 tefachim. That's Chavad Rami. Over here, because each of these beams is only a half tefach, so therefore we're not able to say use the principle of chavit rami, and that only leaves us with the principle of lavin. Good. So if each beam now is within three tefachim of one another, so then we're able to say the principle of lavin. Okay. Ad kan, so far, and for most of today's daf, we have been successful in defending the position of Rava. Actually, we did two things today. We gave evidence to Rav Shita that we're going to be able to say Chavit Rami. When each beam is one tefach, we can ignore the vertical distances, take the beam and throw it down so that it creates alignment with the lower beam. So this idea is supported by a Mishnah and Olos. Actually, it's a combination of the Mishnah and Olos together, supplemented with the Brisa and Olos. And then the Brisa and Erev regarding the Korah is not going to be a question on Rava, as we just reinterpreted that Brisa and Erev. Okay. Adkan, that brings us to the end of basically the first section of today's daf. Okay, so just as a structured, organized, quick mid-review. So we have a Mishnah describing a sukkah mid-duvlelis, which is kosher. What does that mean? Machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that it was sparsely, had a real sparse amount of schach, but there was still more shade than sun. So under those circumstances, it's kosher. And the way Rav reads the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is just talking about one case. Shmuel, on the other hand, said no. Shmuel said that our Mishnah is talking about two different cases. Sukkah Meduvlelis is one case. And then the Mishnah also goes on to describe that as long as you have more schach than non-schach, than airspace, then your sukkah is going to be fine. According to Shmuel, what Sukkah Meduvlelis? It means that the schach is not aligned. They are offset, and they're vertically distanced from one another. Right, the beams are the schach beams are staggered one off the other, and they're vertically there are vertical distances between them. So within that, so then there was a machlokes between Abai and Rava. Abai says that only works where they're within three tefachim of one another; otherwise, it doesn't work. Rava says no, even if they are more than three tefachim away from one another, but each of the beams is one tefach wide. So then we employ the principle of chavit rami, and for the remainder of the sugya, the Gemara just simply proved that we do say Chavit Rami when each beam is one tefach wide. Okay, Adkan, that brings us to the end of the first section. Next section of today's daf. Shitzilsa Meruba Mechamsak Shera. We are halfway down to Chav Beis Amud Beis, and we're at the two dots. So, Ha Ki Adad Dipsula. Okay, so, our Mishnah tells us that when there's more shade than there is sunlight, so our Mishnah says that it would be kosher, which means that a 50-50 would be pasul. The Gemara says, can I remind you what we learned on day one of the Masechta? The Hatanan B'idach Pirkin, the first Mishnah of Masechet Sukkah, V'shechamta Meruba Mitzosa Psula. The Mishnah says that when there's more sunlight than shade, so then it would be Pasul. So Hakia Dadek Shera, which means that a 50-50 would be Kasher. So we have conflicting inferences. This is a common theme throughout Shas, is that you have an inference in the first Mishnah, which would indicate that 50-50 would be 50-50 would be no good. Our Mishnah would indicate that 50-50 would be good. Other way around, by the way. May I just reverse the inferences? The first Mishnah says, Chamta Meruba Mitzilsa, that there's more sun than shade. So the first Mishnah would indicate the 50-50 is good. Our Mishnah would indicate the 50-50 is no good. Okay, so lo kasha. Kamila mala, kamila mata. So I'm going to present the Gemara the way Rashi presents it. Numerous Rishonim argue with Rashi, but for the daf, I'm just going to present it like Rashi. And that is as follows. It depends from which frame of reference you're looking at it. Are we looking at it from the reference point of the schach? Are we looking at it from the reference point of the ground? Rashi, throughout this Gemara's answer, assumes that what happens is that when sunlight goes and it goes through, it will expand. Okay, sunlight expands. That's Rashi's assumption over here. Okay, I'll let the physicists debate it in terms of whether this is accurate or not accurate, but that's Rashi's understanding. And that means as follows. Rashi explains over here like this. If, let's say, at the reference point of the schach itself, so I have now 50-50, meaning 50% sunlight, 50% schach. So now, as you get to the bottom of the sukkah, so because sunlight expands, that means that you have more sun than you do have shade. And under those circumstances, it would be no good. It would be pasul. But let's say on the ground level, when I'm measuring the sunlight and the shade, I have 50% sun and 50% shade, that meant that the sunlight expanded, which means that at the point of the schach itself, there was actually less sunlight than there is shade, and therefore it's going to be kosher. This is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, the Gemara's resolution of the first Mishnah and our Mishnah over here on Chav Beis. meaning the Mishnah on Beis Amud Beis says that when it's more sunlight than shade, it's going to be pasul, which means that at 50-50, it's going to be kosher. So the our Mishnah, I'm sorry, not our Mishnah. The first Mishnah is talking about where the 50-50 is going to be pasul. Sorry, I keep confusing. The first Mishnah that says that 50-50 is going to be kosher, the inference is that it's going to be kosher, is talking about where it is equal at the ground level, which means that at the schach level, there's actually more shade than sunlight. Our Mishnah that would indicate that 50-50 is no good is where they're equal at the schach level, which by definition means that at the ground level, there's going to be more sun than shade. Good. That's Rashi's understanding. Amar Papa Hainu Dharma Inshi. Rapapa says, look, there's an expression that people use. It once upon a time was really popular, and that is Kazuza Milel Kistur Milatachas. That if the sunlight is the size of a Zuz, that's a smaller coin above, so it will be like the Istara, that's a larger coin, up below. In other words, people's expression is that basically the sunlight expands. Okay. Ma'uva Kimin Bais, and we finished now with the last point of, and that is that let's say I lay the schach on really thick. Such a thick layering of schach, the Mishnah says, I can't see anything. So Tana Rabbanan Amuva Kimin Bais off a pishena kochavim nirim. I can't see the stars, mitocha, kshera. It still would be a kosher sukkah. Ein koch lechama nirim mitocha. Now, sorry, let me read the Braisa again. Let me do a more faithful job in explaining each section of the Braisa. Hama'uva kamin bais, if let's say you put a thick layer of schach on the sukkah, it looks like your house. Afa pi she'in ha-kochavim nirim betocha, kshera. If the stars cannot be seen, it would still be kosher. En koch v'chama nirin. Now let's say the koch v'chama. Koch v'chama presumably is the sun, meaning it's so thick that I can't even see the sun coming through. So nirin betocha, b'shamei posum, b'sola machshirin. So machlok is between b'shamei and b'sola as to whether it would be kosher or pasul. B'shamei says that it would be pasul, and b'sola would say that it's kosher. So basically, what comes out now from our Gemara's conclusion over here is that if I can't see the stars, that's fine. If I can't even see the sun, machlok is b'shamei and b'sola, but even b'sola would say that ultimately it would be fine. Okay, that is our Gemara's conclusion. And again, our Gemara's conclusion is that you put a really thick layer of schach on, even to the point where I can't see the sun. So our Gemara's conclusion seems to be that it's fine. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, but here we're at the end of today's daf, so what about every child that comes home from school saying that you have to be able to see the stars? So what is that predicated on? Our Gemara seems to suggest that that is not correct. So in defense of the children, so we start off with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, the Yerushalmi Sukkah. So the Yerushalmi says that you have to, that the machlokes between Beishamah and Beisola is all b'di'evin. L'chatchila, so you have to be able to see the kochvei chama. You have to see the stars of the chama. Now, presumably it means the sun. That's presumably what the Yerushalmi meant. If you look at the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Sukkah, he says, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but as a paraphrase, that you should put a light layering of schach on, obviously more shade than sun. So, and the Rambam says that the kochavim gedolim have to be seen. Now, what the Rambam means in terms of kochavim gedolim, so that's not perfectly clear. The Nosei Kelim, the commentators of the Rambam, spend some time trying to figure out exactly what the Rambam means, but certainly there is an idea that what we learned in the Gemara, the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, is only talking about b'di'evit. But l'chatchila, there's certainly an idea that there has to be some visibility through the schach, meaning that the schach has to give you a sense that this is not a permanent structure, it's a temporary structure, and therefore something has to be seen. So again, I'm not sure if the children are right that you have to see the stars, but certainly there has to be some visibility of the sky through the schach. That certainly seems to be the indication of both the Yerushalmi, the Rambam. So in other words, in defense of the children. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's quickly review. Let's recap. The Mishnah starts off today with a halacha, possibly two halachas in the Mishnah. Certainly one, but possibly two halachas in the Mishnah. And Chav Beis Aman Al, the Sukkah, Hamidu Vlalas, and the Tzilsim Ruba Mechamsa. In both of those cases, the Mishnah says that it would be kosher. And then the Mishnah also says that if, let's say, you throw a lot of schach on and the stars cannot be seen, so it would also be a kosher sukkah. Good. So those are the halachas of the Mishnah. So first of all, the discussion in the Gemara, number one, when the Mishnah says that sukkah mid duvlelis, what does that mean? So Rav says meduvlelet just simply means that you did not throw on a lot of schach. It just simply means that was there was just enough schach. And what is just enough? Where there is more shade than there is sun. That's Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah, which means that according to Rav, the first case of the Mishnah is just one case where the Mishnah is defining itself. According to Shmuel, no. Sukkah meduvlelet is talking about where the schach is staggered. And then the Mishnah also gives us another halacha, which is that there's just enough schach, meaning that there's more shade than sun. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, describe a sukkah where I put on a lot of schach. But in other words, according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is actually giving me two cases, not one case. Okay? And then a lengthy discussion in the Gemara between Abai and Rava, vis-a-vis what happens when the schach is not aligned, meaning like Shmuel interprets our Mishnah, and are we able to view the schach as if they are aligned? Do I get to ignore the vertical distance between the schach? So according to Abaye, if they're within three tefachim one another, the answer is yes. But if they're greater than three tefachim, the answer is no. Rava says that if each schach width, if the horizontal width is one tefach, so then we get to employ the rule of chavut rami, which basically means that I can drop it down, the edge of one down to meet the other one. Basically, I get to ignore the vertical distance between them, even at a much greater distance than three tefachim. Doesn't seem to be a limit. Again, chavut rami is this fictional wall, which basically allows me to drop it down, presumably any amount. So this is the halacha of Rava. How do we know this halacha of Rava? So we learn together, Mishnah and Olos, and the supplemental brisa that gives us this idea of chavut rami. Not to go through the Mishnah again, but that is the source for it. The Bryce and Erevin seems to say that we're ready to say Chavad Rami, even by half tefach. The Gemara says, no, we're reinterpreting that Bryce regarding the Korah of the Mavui. Okay, that basically is a quick summary of both the Amud Aleph and most of the Amud Beis of today's Daf. Finally, the Gemara ended today with two more points. The conflicting inferences of our Mishnah here on Chav Beis and the Mishnah on Daf Beis. The Mishnah on Daf Beis says that if I have Chamsim Ruba Mitzosa, it would be Pasol. The inference over there is that if they're Mechza Mechza, if it's 50-50, it would be Kasher. Meanwhile, our Mishnah on Chav Beis says that if I have more shade than sun, then it would be Kasher, which it would infer that a 50-50 would be Pasol. So we have the conflicting inferences. So the Gemara says, the way Rashi explains the Gemara's answer, it depends where I'm looking, what's my point of reference. If my point of reference is at the Schach itself, so 50-50 would be no good. Why? Because sun expands. And so when I have 50-50 at the schach level, so that means I have more sun than shade on the ground level. Meanwhile, if let's say I have 50-50 on the ground level, so because the sun expanded when it got to the ground, that meant that the sun was smaller in area at the schach level, and therefore you would be good. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara's resolution of the conflicting inferences of the first Mishnah and our Mishnah. And finally, what happens if I throw such a thick layer of schach on the sukkah, where I can't even see the sun? Machlokes Bishamah and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says it's no good. Beis Hillel says it's fine. Obviously, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. But in terms of lichatchila, the Gemara doesn't say this, but based on the Yerushalmi, lichatchila, there needs to be some visibility. What exactly that visibility is? So, not clear. The language of the Rambam is that you have to be able to see lichatchila kochavim gedolim. What does the Rambam mean by that? Open for interpretation. We'll stop here.